We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, everywhere and every way,
every moment of the day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad for us this morning. And our guest is Jason Mung. How are you this morning?
I'm excellent. How are you guys this morning?
Doing good. It's good to see
you. Yeah, you too.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can comment on the Facebook post and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get it uploaded shortly after the program has ended, so long as there's no technical difficulties. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
You bet. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day that you've given us, God. I thank you that you woke us up this morning with breath in our lungs, Father. Father, let this be a day that we would shine our lights before men, God, that we would just magnify you in this place that you have put us on this earth, God. I just thank you for the word that you're going to bring forth today, Father. We thank you for your spirit. Father, I just submit myself to him and just ask that you would speak in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right.
I like your title. Say what you pray.
That's right. Say what you pray, they got to match. Right? How many times do we pray some things and then we say some things, but they don't match?
Yeah, you're cursing what you're praying for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the point, right?
Right.
We've got to figure that out. That's one of the things I've just kind of noticed, you know, being around people a lot, is especially in ministry atmosphere, you get to be around people in their moments of prayer time and things like that, and then you just get to live life with them. And even in my own life, you know, just kind of self-reflecting, realizing some of those things that that I'm praying for in my private time with God, and then when I'm on the outside just saying and speaking, right, those have to match. Otherwise, we're speaking from a double mouth, as the word says, right? Mm-hmm. That's a forked tongue. We're saying one thing on this side, and then we're saying something on this side. And that's just not cutting it. We have to get those things into agreement as we walk out. So I kind of want to just get into the Word today. Just kind of look at prayer, what that looks like in the Bible. And we'll just kind of dig into God's Word and see what he has to say today about that. So we're going to start over in Daniel 10. And I'm going to read. I'll just read right here from the very beginning. We're going to get down to the meat in just a minute, but we need to gather a little bit of context of what we're talking about here. So Daniel chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 1, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. In the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known as Belshazzar, had another vision. He understood that the vision concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship. When this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. All the time I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips. I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. On April 23rd, as I was standing on the bank of the great Tigris River, I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing, with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. So I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me, my face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. Then I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and lay there with my face to the ground. Just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and knees. And then the man said to me, "Daniel, you are very precious to God, so listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you." When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Then he said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for your understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come to answer your prayer, but for 21 days the spirit of the prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit of the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come." So I'm going to stop right there. I encourage you guys to go in and read the rest of the story in Daniel 10, but what I kind of want to hone in on and point out here is the prayer that Daniel had offered, right? So if we look into verse 13, it says, "But for 21 days the spirit of the prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way." But what did he say right before that? "I have come to answer your prayer." So we see in this context, Daniel had humbled himself, as it says here, and he prayed for understanding. And he said, at that moment of your request, the answer was already sent, right? But then we see when the man here arrives that he explains, and we can see that as an angelic being, right? As he explains that he was sent as soon as Daniel began to pray. And I love the word, when we look in here in verse 12, it says he began to pray, right? So what does "began to pray" mean? That means that there was a continuation after the prayer, right? And when we look at our lives in our prayer times, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, knock, right? And the door will be open. Seek and you will find. And when we look at that in the English language, sometimes we don't gather the full understanding of that because we think, well, if I'm just going to offer a prayer and then I'm just going to leave it in God's hands and then sit back and wait, right? But what that actually means, when you go look up the Hebrew word in that scripture, it says knock, and it actually means keep on knocking. Seek, keep on seeking, right? And as we see here in verse 12, it says, when you began to pray, Daniel didn't just lift up his request before God and then went on about his business waiting for God to show up. He began a prayer that was a continuation, and the continuation was so important because, as we see here in verse 13, for 21 days, the answer to this prayer was held back, right? Because there was a spiritual warfare going on that was in the heavenlies. And that's one thing that oftentimes we don't understand or don't even contemplate in our prayer life before God, because we go to God in desperation or we go to God in need. But then there's also a time of just the wait for the answer. Mm-hmm. But in the wait, we don't just sit there with our thumbs going like this or just moving on about our normal days lives. What do? As Daniel did in this place, there was a beginning of prayer, but there's a continuation that must happen until what? We get the answer, right? We get what we prayed for. And, you know, I hear so many times, how many prayers do you think might have not been answered, or you might not have gotten the result because you didn't keep on knocking, right? You didn't keep on knocking on heaven's door. And I didn't pull up the scripture for today, but there's, again, a scripture in the Bible where it talks about that there was a woman that kept coming before the king, right? Over and over and over she kept coming. And finally he was like, "Have what you want, woman." Right? Why? Because she kept her petition before the king, right? And that is so good for us to realize, again, in this place of our lives in prayer, that when we begin to pray something, do not let go of the prayer. Do not stop praying until we get the results that we're asking for, right? And so I kind of want to go into some other scriptures we look into the New Testament, even to qualify that, because I know there is a lot of mindset today that prayer is one of those things. It's almost become a kind of a genie in the bottle moment with God. It's almost like, well, I'm going to send it up there and hopefully I'll get something back out of this, right? Or maybe just a portion of what I'm asking for. But I totally believe, and I see according to the word, that God's heart for us is to answer our prayers, to give us what we ask for. And what that looks like in our life is because we are aligning our lives to what God is calling us to, then what does he say? Anything that you ask in my son's name, if your heart is mine, I'll give it to you, right? So that place in our places of prayer, we're not going there praying, God, make me rich. God, bring me a Lamborghini. You know, it's not about those self-serving things, but rather the things that are after God's own heart, right? And then we just bring those things forth out of our spirit, and then God can answer those prayers. And, you know, again, I know there's a lot of controversy when it comes to prayer when we look at life, because sometimes we look at circumstance and we make that the bigger truth than what the truth of the word says. Mm-hmm. I mean, it breaks my heart to hear people say, well, I prayed for this and it didn't happen, so I just don't think God does that anymore. And I'm thinking, man, you just gave up so quickly. Mm-hmm. What if Daniel would have gave up day 2? What if Daniel would have gave up day 10, right? What if Daniel would have gave up day 20, one day before his prayer was actually going to be answered, before the angelic was actually going to intervene in his life and bring forth the message that God had already sent 3 weeks prior? Like, we can't give up. And even in this, we can't look at this and say, okay, God, you got 3 weeks, right? We can't even do that, because sometimes the timing of God is always perfect, mm-hmm. right? There's one phrase that always catches my attention as I read through the word, and it's at just the right time, right? I see that over and over throughout the word, at just the right time, because that time is the perfect time. Because God sees the big picture, right? We can only see the portion that we know about or that we're involved in, but there's such a greater picture that God is always working in. And in that place, God is always going to be there at just the right time, right? And again, in those places, sometimes that timing is brought about by our continuation in the prayer, the knocking and keeping on knocking. That's what's bringing that in, because as we see here, there is an enemy that is out there in the spiritual realm that is trying to block the things that God is sending from heaven to earth, mm-hmm. right? And we have to not let go of those things so quickly. We have to remain in our faith and walk those things out and know that God is faithful to answer those prayers that we've petitioned him for. And what does that look like in our lives? Again, what's the heart of the Father? And that's why I encourage people so much to get into the scripture to read, because you can gather the context of the heart of God by his words, mm-hmm. right? It's no different with us. If we sit here and have a conversation about something, you gather the context of my heart and my spirit by what I say. Mm-hmm. And it's no different according to God's word. God has written his words. Yes, it was done by men, but it was through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of God in them, right? So these are the words of God. So we have to read the word to understand the context of God's heart. Where are you coming from? You know? Because we can go in here, we can read scriptures, and we think, oh, shoot. You get out of line, God's going to whack you on the head. And then other ones you read, oh, Jesus, like God loves you so much, he sends his only son. Like, that's a deep, compassionate love. But we have to see the whole heart of God to understand what we can petition. What is his heart asking for? And make that my heart, right? Mm-hmm. And then petition him in that way through what? The name of Jesus. And then when we hear the name of Jesus, when God hears the name of Jesus, guess what? His eyes are on you. His ears are attentive to what you have to say. So I want to pull into a couple other scriptures now here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. I think I'm actually going to back up a little bit. It's just hard for me to go read one verse out of the Bible, because there's always so much context around it, right?
Especially what starts with there for.
Right.
What's that there for?
So we're going to end up in 17, but we're going to start at 11. So because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it's to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it's for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. So I'm going to pause right there for just a second. Again, when we see this, when we have died to the old self of who we are, it removes that, hey, God, I need this, I want this, all of those from a fleshly desire place, right? But rather what it says here, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life no longer live for themselves. So our heart then becomes aligned with the Father. And it says, as we continue, instead they live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. So this means that everyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him, right? Then at the end, I'm going to jump down to 21 there. For God has made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So there's my key point down in the end, is 21. We have been made right with God through Christ. So therefore, that is, and another translation, being made right, the other word there is, we've been made righteous, right? That's the word that is in other translations. We've been made righteous through Christ. And sometimes even in that, I think there's a lack of understanding in the church to what is righteousness. Like, what is right? That in this translation, you're made right. That's exactly what righteousness means. It means from what Jesus did on the cross, you are now made right with God, right? So he doesn't take account of our sins anymore. He puts those as far as the east is from the west. And again, I know in the Christian church today, there's such this big emphasis about our sin and a recognition of being a sinner. And yes, that is so important to understand. I am a sinner. I am in need of God. But as soon as I do that, man, then let's throw all that behind us and let's run, right? Let's run this race that God has put before us. And don't let sin be a weight, be a drag. Why? Because God took care of all that through his son, Jesus, right? That's not a part of who we are anymore. So we're going to jump over to Philippians 4. And we're going to read verses 6 and 7. And he says here in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't worry about anything. Instead, what? Pray. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as we live in Christ Jesus. And, you know, and kind of looking back at that, the righteousness that I was talking about, there's a scripture that says, that the prayer of a righteous man, it avails much, right? And again, sometimes what we'll do if we're not careful is because there's something that we're dealing with in our life, if there's a stumbling block that we're dealing with, if there's is an attitude or a sin that has been, we've just kind of been trying to get over the hump of, right? We'll look at ourselves and say, wow, I'm not righteous right now, you know? We start to judge our own selves again from that place. And that's why we have to go to the truth of what the word says. You are not made righteous by you. You're not made righteous by your action. You're not made righteous by your ministry. You're not made righteous by your words. You're not made righteous by any of those things. You're only made righteous by what Jesus Christ did on the cross, right? And there's nothing that can take that away. Nothing. So therefore, in that place when I'm going in prayer before God, because, you know, what's crazy, I've noticed, I had a conversation with a gentleman yesterday. We talked about this. Just even as men, like when we go through circumstance and hard times in our life, it's a tendency of a man to just kind of pull away and isolate. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know that term man cave, that's kind of funny, because that's what a man do. Like when things kind of get hard, it's not that we're running, we're just regrouping. Mm-hmm. We need to go set ourselves aside, and what we'll do is we'll find a place that's quiet, that's ours, that's alone. We'll pull back to the man cave, right? And in those places, sometimes we just need to assess. We need to get the emotions in check in our life and deal with those things that are going on. And then we'll come back out, right? We're not going to go live there. But sometimes we're going to go visit there and we're going to chill out. And we were just talking about this as men. And I started thinking about that in the spiritual aspect too. How many times when there's something that we're dealing with in our life, whether it's a sin that's kind of been popping its head up in our life, an old way, or whatever that looks like, then we want to pull back from God and be like, oh, mm-hmm. shoot, you know, I don't feel righteous at this moment, so I'm going to go hit the cave for a while. But my encouragement in that place is, do go hit the cave, but let the cave be as what we see in the scripture. It says that when you pray, go to your closet and shut yourself in, mm-hmm. right? Go spend time with God in that place. That is the place that when you pull away, understand, I'm not over here to hide because I'm feeling unrighteous in this moment. I'm going over here to seek and keep on seeking. I'm going over here to draw close to God. Why? Because when I do, He'll draw close to me and segregate myself away from those things. And then it's just a time of refocus, right? And as we read just earlier, because sometimes that old man, right, it wants to come back in some of its ways.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remind it, hey, that's the old me. That died, right? Mm-hmm. You need to stay dead. We're going forward. We're not looking to the past. And allowing God to just move and work in our lives. And again, as we see in this book of Daniel, in that place of, we never know the time frame of what that's going to look like. And if we try to stamp one on there, you're setting yourselves up for failure in whatever you're asking God for. Right? Because in that place, what I see, according to the word, is you're leaning to your own understanding and not what God can bring into your life. Because you don't know what's going on in the supernatural. You know, I even look at the book of Daniel here. He said that there are other men with him, but they couldn't see, right? But they didn't know what was going on, so they just freaked out and jetted. But God was speaking to Daniel in a special way. And like understanding that you're a child of God and your relationship with God is very unique. And He wants to spend a one-on-one time with you in those places when you're just seeking Him for something in your life. And I understand, again, even in our prayer life, is there are things that they're just small things, you know, that we feel, but we bring them to God. And then there are some things that feel monstrous, you know, being a monstrosity of our life, being something that's very big, overwhelming in circumstance. But it doesn't matter. God's heart is the same for both of those, you know. I even think about that with the heart of my kids. You know, the simplicity of I think of my little daughter when she was small, can't even reach the water on the icebox, mm-hmm. right? And she'll say, Daddy, can you give me some water? That's a small thing, right? But it's like, she need my help. Prayer is simply, I need your help, right? And the Father responding and saying, absolutely, let me help you out in that. And then as my daughter is now grown and she gets into her preteen years, you know, the problems get a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
She can get her own water now, right? But there are things in her life that she's coming to me. She's like, Dad, this boy is saying this, or this girl is doing that at school, and it's making me feel bad about this and dealing with those. And those are a little bigger problems that are going on. But guess what? The Father's heart never changes, right? We want to bring comfort. We want to bring help. And why do we look at God our Father any different than that? If we do look at Him any different than that, it's because we have a skewed view. We haven't seen the heart of the Father. And again, that's why I always encourage people, go read the Word, man. You have to get into the Word of God to understand the heart of the Father. Because even if you're listening to someone else's interpretation of who He is, or even who He is to their life, each your relationship is so unique with God. I even think about my children again in that. I have 5 kids, and every relationship with each one of those is unique, right? Mm-hmm. I don't treat any one of them exactly the same because they're different. And it's no different with us and God. Like, He understands. As a matter of fact, He's the one that made us. So He understands the very uniqueness that He's created us with and knows just how to communicate, how to pour in, how to love on you, and how to hear from you and how to respond to you, you know? And I love that about God. Like, He is such a personable God. Even though He is so big and outside of everything that we are, He's inside of us. You know, like, that is so cool about who God is. And I love to see the picture of that. So looking at the context of kind of what we've talked about, and I know we're about time for a break, so I'll kind of wrap into a break time here. Saying what we're praying. So there's those times that we live in our lives and we go and we present our petition before God. We present our prayers. We have to make sure in this in-between time that our speech stays the same. We cannot go in and ask God, God, I thank You for the healing of my body. I ask that You would just come in and flood from the top of the head to the sole of my feet, just healing, supernatural healing. And then we go outside. How are you doing today? Oh, man, my back hurts, my neck hurts, my foot hurts. You know, all of these things. Again, you have asked for something in your closet, in your prayer time before God, but then you go out there and you start spewing all of these seeds that don't agree with what you just prayed in the closet, right? And then what will happen if we're not careful, that then even shifts into complaint and say, well, I've been asking God for this, but I'm just not getting any results. Not understanding, you literally took what you prayed and you flipped it and you started saying something else.
Mm-hmm.
It is so important, as the word states for us, death and life are in the power of your tongue. And I look at that in every time you speak a word, I want you to look at that as a seed that's going forth, right? Everything that you speak is a seed going forth out of your mouth, and it will find soil, and it will bear a fruit of either a good seed or a negative seed of the things that you spit out of your mouth. You must make sure that in your prayer time, that when you walk your every day until the fruition of the prayer being answered, your speech matches what you said in that closet, right? Otherwise, you're just going in there and spewing words because you haven't understood from the heart. This is a petition. This is a walking. This is a knocking, a seeking, a continual place that I must stand in until what? Until the answer arrives. Mm-hmm. So we can take a break.
Yeah, we do have a couple. Monica Grissom and her family, her dad passed away yesterday. And then let's pray for little Maverick. He running 104 fever, sore throat, and can't hold anything down. This started, I think, yesterday, and they were waiting for the doctors to open this morning so they could get him into the doctor.
But Father, we just lift up these requests to you, and Father, it's just proper that we're talking about prayer today. God, I thank you that you do answer our prayers. Father, and I just lift up the Grissom family. Father, I know times of grief. I've experienced them in my own life, and these are places that we need a comfort that can't come from anywhere else but you. And so, Father, I ask this for the Grissom family, each and every one of them, Father, that you would just come in and you would bring comfort to their family in this time of loss, God. Father, I ask in this moment, Father, that even in the moment of grief, of the hurt in their hearts, God, that there would be a joy and a faithfulness that they can experience from you even in this time, God, just to show them. And it doesn't mean that we don't miss our loved one. It doesn't mean that there's not hurt in our heart, God. But even in those places, God, we can walk still being in peace and knowing that you are in control, Father, and that you love us so much. And we thank you for the comfort that you bring to this family. And Father, for Maverick, Father, we just thank you for healing. And God, I pray today, Father, according to your word says that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. Father, I speak that forth right now in Jesus' name over Maverick, Father. I thank you for healing in his body, Father, that his throat would be fine, that he could swallow, that he could eat, that fever would come down right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for moving in his life in such a supernatural way. God, so in a way that only you can do it. So, Father, we just thank you for that now. And, Father, we expect a good report in Maverick's health right now in Jesus' name. And, Father, even when we're before you right now in prayer, Father, I want to lift up our country. Father, I thank you for the things that you're doing in this country, God. Father, I thank you for moving on behalf of the men and women that have sacrificed time and even life, God, for our country, Father. Let it not be in vain. Father, I know that we have an enemy that is trying to come in and do things and take over, take away the freedoms, God, that you have paid for us, God. So we thank you, God, that you would move in this time. We expect great things, a move from you, Father, in this time of shaking for America, Father. I thank you that people will come to the knowledge of who you are and that they will know you, God. In this time, in Jesus' name.
Lisa Taylor asked us to pray for Ella's procedure tomorrow.
Okay.
Ella is her daughter.
Okay. So, Father, we just lift up Ella. And, Father, we thank you that you guide the hands of every person that has involvement in her situation. Father, I thank you that you give wisdom and knowledge for whatever the situation is. I don't know, but you do. So, Father, I just thank you that it will come to fruition according to your will and nothing else. So, Father, if there needs to be healing that would come in, Father, we thank you for supernatural fix. And, God, if there's a part that the doctors would play, Father, we just thank you that you will guide their hands in this and the recovery would be swift. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. The refuge is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.